The California Citizens Redistricting Commission will release its final maps tomorrow. It's the culmination of months of work to redraw state legislative and congressional districts. They will take public comment until August 15th. With Los Angeles County's population growing less than the rest of the state, the area is facing a loss of representation. North County Times journalist Dan Walters observed, quote, a shuffle in the county's long static congressional delegation is looming. Ahead of Friday's release, a draft of the proposed boundaries was made public, sparking anger and even accusations of racism from a multitude of sources. The African American Redistricting Commission, or AARC for short, strongly opposed plans to break up African American strongholds in the 33rd, 35th, and 37th congressional districts. Overall, it warned that a 25% reduction in African American congressional representation would result. However, last Sunday, the commission redrew district lines, resulting in a draft that will preserve black representation. Meanwhile, a multiracial coalition, including the Korean Resource Center, SCOPE, and CHIRLA, is organizing against a breakup specifically of the 33rd Congressional District. They say District 33 is one of the most diverse in the state, and they want to keep it that way. It is comprised of four distinct ethnic groups, each accounting for at least 10% of the population. Gloria Walton, executive director of SCOPE, said breaking this district up along color lines would take our country and community in the wrong direction. Joining me on the phone this morning is Erica Teasley-Linick. She's AARC's coordinator and the former Western Regional Counsel at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Welcome to Uprising, Erica.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
Thanks so much for joining us. Again, the AARC is the African American Redistricting Commission. So first tell us what exactly would the commission have done with the 33rd, 35th and 37th districts if there had been no opposition? What was the danger that African American representation was facing?
Well, in terms of the congressional lines, what had happened was there was a big push on the part of certain cities to bail out of or to be removed from the Inglewood District, which is currently represented by Congresswoman Maxine Waters, and that's the district that we know as District Number 35. Just as an aside, we don't know what the numbers of these districts will be, but we'll talk about them in terms of what they are currently, mm-hmm. so that people are able to follow the discussion. So what is currently District Number 35 contains cities, South Bay cities. And one of the things that's important about it is that there are cities that are impacted by the airport, by airport noise, and by pollution. And so those folks had testified before the commission and said, we need to be kept together so that we can make sure that we're able to speak with a unified voice in terms of the adverse impacts of the airport. And so one of the things that happened was that one of the cities, Hawthorne, had asked to be taken out of that district. Some of the testimony that was presented to the commission was racially coded. It said things like, we don't want to be with them. We are a beach city. We should be grouped with the beach cities to the west.
Meaning white populations versus black.
Well, that's how one commissioner saw it. And she said that on Sunday. She said, you know, we've been getting in notices that really are letters from community members that really sound, that sound like they're racially motivated. And that's why they were seeking to leave the Inglewood district. And so if they took out the city of Hawthorne, they were going to have to rearrange the districts. And that made them say, well, we'll take population, and mainly the African-American population, from the Culver City, Baldwin Hills district, that multiracial district that you were referring to, District Number 33, and we will put the folks from the communities of Crenshaw and Leimert Park and Baldwin Hills and View Park, and we'll put them in the Inglewood district to make up for the population loss from Hawthorne. Well, by doing that, you would create a district that was heavily populated by African Americans and would be the only district then where African Americans would have an opportunity to elect candidates of choice. Instead of, as it's currently drawn, there are, the 33rd district and the 35th district are both districts in which African Americans have been successful at electing candidates that they choose to represent them. So that was what the pushback was. The pushback was from some of the folks from other communities who were saying that they were tired of being with this multiracial district.
So what about the African-American commissioners on the redistricting commission itself? What sort of position did they take?
Well, they actually had a very strong voice on behalf of the African-American community and also on behalf of other voters of color. And they, on Sunday, when they rejected this plan that would have basically obliterated the 33rd district, they said things like, "We are here to make sure that there's fair and effective representation for all voters in California. And that means that we definitely need to make sure that we're complying with the Voting Rights Act, that we're not using it against any voters of color, and that we're making sure that there is a way for disenfranchised voters to be able to elect candidates that they choose to elect. And if we were to get rid of the 33rd district and pack African American voters in this Inglewood district, that would be a disservice to the African American community, to the state at large, and it also would be potentially a violation of the Voting Rights Act."
Well, tell us specifically how Sunday's meeting went down. There were reports of it being quite an emotional meeting, a lot of tensions, tears. What happened?
Yes, there actually were tears. Mm-hmm. And, we were sitting in the room, and it was amazing to be there. And it's too bad that you actually can watch the videotape. They have been streaming live, and then after the meetings, they post their meetings online. So you can see what happened on WeDrawTheLines.com. But basically what happened was there was one commissioner who expressed her interest in looking at things differently in South LA. She said that, we've heard some testimony from folks that they hadn't been listening to, and that basically was the Hawthorne community. And she said that she really wanted to build a strong beach cities district, and that there needed to be a redraw in order to look at what that might look like. Well, some members of the commission had said, well, we'd gone down that road before, and indeed they had. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, they had done a version where there was where the 33rd district was gone, and we fought that then, and we thought we had successfully, defeated that proposal. But it came back again, and Commissioner DiGiulio said that she really wanted to look at a redraw. So they actually paused the meeting. They put they told the line drawers, they directed them to draw this new configuration, and that they would then consider it. And so they stopped the meeting. They refocused the meeting direction, and decided to go ahead and indulge this commissioner in this redraw of something that they had already defeated and something that they already rejected. So there were pleas from different commissioners about what this would do. About the fact that it would eviscerate African-American representation in South L.A., and that the population did not demand that, and that that would be a way to diminish African-American opportunities in Congress, and that wasn't something that they wanted to happen. There also was, discussion about the fact that both of the African-American commissioners are part of the Declined Estate group. And I don't know if your listeners are aware of exactly how the commission, was chosen, but there are 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and 4 declined to state or independent voters. And so to pass any map, you need to have a supermajority from each group. So you need 3 of the independents to support a map. And 2 of the independents, the African Americans, had said that if, during the discussion, that if they were to pass a map that got rid of these districts and made it harder for African Americans to elect candidates of choice, they wouldn't be able to support the map. So there was discussion around that. There were tears, and it was very emotional. And then, we got to the discussion where the commissioners talked about their backgrounds. They talked about, what sort of lens they look at the world through. Commissioner Aguirre talked about being a farm worker. He talked about being homeless at a time. He talked about time that he had lived in the South Bay, and that places like Hawthorne and we're not beach cities. That they were, that when he went to the beach as a young Latino male, that he saw discrimination. That the police would harass him. He only had, he said, a couple of beaches where he felt comfortable going, and one was Venice Beach, which we know is very multicultural, right. And another was near Abadigo in the South Bay. And so we got stories, personal stories from the commissioners about their racial backgrounds, and that's what brought on more of the tears.
My guest is Erica Teasley-Linick. She is the coordinator of the African American Redistricting Commission, AARC, and the former Western Regional Counsel at the NAACP's Legal Defense and Educational Fund. We're talking about the redistricting controversies, particularly surrounding Districts 33, 35, and 37. There is going to be a release release of final maps happening tomorrow by the California Citizens Redistricting Commission. Now, some of what is happening here has to do simply with demographic changes.
Sure.
Can you discuss how black migration to the suburbs and reduced overall population in the city of Los Angeles sort of plays into this, and what does this mean so for the long term of Los Angeles and for blacks in Los Angeles?
Well, I think that's a good question. That's sort of the $64 million question.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've been going through this process, as the commissioners have been considering what to do with the African American community and what to do with South LA, we know it's a very diverse place. One of the things that we do know is throughout the state, in terms of black population, the population has not gone down so significantly or drastically such as would necessitate such a redoing of or redrawing of the lines. It's a point, so like a 0.5, 0.6 percentage points. And in L.A. County, though, there has been, it's like around a percentage point. So the number is not drastic. There actually has been a larger decrease in white population.
Hmm.
And there hasn't been really a lot of discussion about that, but
wow.
We know there has been an increase in the Asian population, the Asian Pacific Islander population, and a substantial increase in the Latino population. And so in trying to draw the lines, I think the commission has been grappling with those issues with how to respect the Voting Rights Act and how to accommodate the shifts in demographics. We were able to, the African American Redistricting Collaborative has worked in concert with MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and with the CAPAFOR groups and APALC, the Asian Pacific American Legal Center, to present the commission with unity maps. And we did that on June 28th. We gave the commission unity maps for the Assembly statewide and for Southern California in the Senate. We weren't able to come to an agreement specifically on Congress, but we did all agree that there should be three South L.A. congressional seats that would get African-Americans an opportunity to elect candidates, two Senate districts, and four Assembly districts. So we were able to, in looking at how our communities have worked together, how we have had multicultural, voting patterns. In Los Angeles, we have a Latino mayor who's been supported by African-Americans. We have other candidates. We have African-American candidates who've been supported by white voters. And so we really, and that's one of the things that we've talked about when we talk about District 33 in Congress. So we've been able to work in a multiracial sort of way. And although there has been some changes in demographics, we've seen a shift. There are African Americans in the Inland Empire, and that's one of the places. There is the Inland Empire African American Redistricting Coalition that has been working very forcefully to make sure that the commission understands what things look like out there. And that it's very important to recognize the cohesiveness and the sort of the multiracial voting patterns out there in the Inland Empire, in the San Bernardino region, Rialto, Fontana, in those areas. So I think, the demographic shift, that has been something that some people have focused on, but the shift has not been such that African-American voting blocks and districts should be wiped out.
Hmm. Well, there is, as I mentioned, there is a deadline of August 15th for the public to comment on the maps that are going to be released tomorrow. But so far, Erica, are you happy with the way the process has worked, whereby the public does have a chance to give input to this Citizens Redistricting Commission?
Well, one thing I will say is that it's the first time, it has been an experiment, and I think everyone has the commissioners and I think the community members and groups like the African American Redistricting Collaborative, we've all been working to try and make sure that this process has been as transparent as possible and that it has been as fair and representative as possible from the very beginning when they were appointing the commissioners, trying to make sure that it was a diverse body of folks who were going to be looking at these issues and drawing these lines. To making sure that that public comment would be meaningful and that folks would have an opportunity to both present in front of the commission orally and also to present them with written testimony as well. And, they've had some difficulties with that. If you have been to one of the meetings, and I'm sure many of your listeners have, they were very long. The meetings would start at 6 p.m. They'd end around 11:30.
Wow.
They started cutting off the time periods at which people would speak. When they initially talked about it, they said, well, we'll give speakers around 3 to 5 minutes. Well, that became 1.5 minutes at these very last meetings in the last couple of weeks. So people had, 2 minutes to talk to them about their communities, which is basically impossible. You know, we're having this conversation. We could talk all day about it. And what happened was people, by the time they would introduce themselves and where they were from, their time would be up. And they wouldn't even really get to the meat and the heart of what they wanted to talk about, like their community and what communities they feel aligned with. So I think there have been some issues in terms of public comment. But overall, in terms of how the maps look, one of the things that we were hoping for and we thought might happen based on sort of the discussion that we had about demographics, we were worried that the commission would basically get rid of some of the districts where African Americans have been able to elect candidates of choice. And all those districts are multiracial districts. You know, we weren't asking for anything other than, you know, we want to be competitive. We want to have a chance.
And yet some of the news reports made it seem as though African-American groups and community members were interested only in preserving African-American strongholds rather than the sort of multiracial organizing that's been done to elect candidates over the years.
Yes, and exactly. Well, I think it's because people don't know the demographics of the districts where African-Americans are representatives. And I think they have a vision of what it is. I think, you know, where we live in Los Angeles, it's a pretty compact area. So there really is one way to draw it such that we can have opportunities and be able to elect candidates of choice. And the way that the districts are drawn right now, and it's the map came out, I think, late last night. It's up this morning, and it's they're going over it today, and they're going to vote on it tomorrow. But basically in those districts, none of the districts have more than 34% African-Americans. 35%, I think, is the highest number. And so that means that they're multiracial. It means that there is a large amount of Latino population. There are Asian voters there, and there also are white voters in those districts, in some of the districts.
Well, Erica, yes, go ahead and finish that thought.
I was going to say, so they are multiracial districts, and I think that people don't have that picture in mind.
So are you calling finally on listeners to really take a look at these maps and give their input by August 15th? And what are some web resources as well as actual physical places people can go to if they're interested in this issue?
Sure. So they should go to the commission's website to view the maps, and that is We Draw the Lines, WEDRAWTHELINES .com, mm-hmm. And they can go there and click on Congress or Senate or Assembly or Board of Equalization, and they can see where their communities are and take a look at that. Continue to blow it up because it's very small when you get there. They also can send emails to votersfirstact@crc.ca.gov. And tell the commission what they think of those lines. And they also can, on the website at We Draw the Lines, they can just click on public comment and they can comment there as well.
Oh, leave electronic comments even. That's great.
Exactly. They can send in emails that way.
Well, Erica,
it's very important for everyone to do that.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. And it's a hugely important issue. And I think that, all groups need to be aware that the process is going on. It's a new process. Mm-hmm. It was an experiment. And I think hopefully we will all be relatively happy with the results.
Thank you again, Erica. Erica Teasley-Linick is the coordinator of the African American Redistricting Collaborative. She's also the former Western Regional Counsel at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. We've been talking about the Citizens Redistricting Commission here in California, and we'll link to those websites and email addresses she mentioned on our website, uprisingradio.org, later today.